Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love Him for moving in our lives to be interested in us, to love us. He died in our place for us, and He came back to be with us. And He came back again in the form of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And my pastor was talking from this script, teaching from this scripture yesterday about what it's like to follow God and flow with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he did something I really love. he showed the distinction between the voice of the conscience and the way that the Lord enlightens the spirit of man by the Holy Ghost. And, you know, sometimes when I'm teaching, I talk about how your body has a voice. Your mind has a voice. Your spirit has a voice. in Jeremiah, I think it's around chapter 42, the Lord, he used Jeremiah to warn the people not to even listen to their own dreams. Now, because they were so, they wanted to go back to Israel, but they were not going back to Israel. Now, I may be wrong on the chapter. I know about where the something is. I don't know every chapter and everything, you know. But he said that they were not going back to build houses and let their sons and daughters get married. Because they were not leaving. They were going to be there for 70 years. And he said, don't listen to your prophets. and don't even listen to your own dreams. Now that's something right there. And everything that he said happened. And they didn't go back to Israel. They had to stay where they were. Because they were in captivity. And it's important to, the reason he said don't even listen to your own dream, that shows you that your desires, your will, they have a voice. You can think God is saying you're going to go back. You can even have dreams. He said don't even believe your own dreams. You know, it. This tells us something. It's so important and so pure to hear from the Holy Spirit. You know, the Word of God divides the soul and the spirit, you know. And you want to hear from God. Because if you go off on a tangent, God can't bless a tangent. He can get you out of trouble, but that can take a long time. Going off on a tangent, I've seen people do that. And I said, if they can do it, I can do it. I don't want to go off. I said, Lord, I want to stay balanced. I want to stay in the perfect will of God. So if I'm going through a crisis, and I believe God told me something, I stay in faith about it, because you have to receive God's word, and I ask Him to confirm it for me. And I don't tell people what's going on, but He calls people to say what I need, and it helps me to trust what the Holy Spirit is saying. Help me divide what the voice of the Holy Spirit from my will and my desires and my mind, my body, the cries of myself. I don't want to speak in God's name and believe God, because we can't see God talk to us, but we know His word. And see, when you fill your heart with the word of God, the Holy Spirit he'll have more to work with to enlighten your spirit, man. And then when He speaks, you'll know it. And if you love to cooperate with God, no matter what the outcome, you love cooperating with God, you love to obey Him, it's easy for God to guide you in all truth. Now, I was wrong about the chapter. It's not chapter 42. It's Jeremiah chapter 29. And, you know, this will give us a lot of clarity in following through with the Word of God. Now, the Lord told me something, going somewhere with this, because last night he mentioned to me that a lot of people are not going to make it for what's about to happen on earth. Only the people with God's word in their heart will survive what's about to happen. And if you ask me what's about to happen, I can't give you specifics because I just know what the Lord told me. It's not going to be good. Remember, Jesus said men's hearts will fail them for fear when they see what comes upon the earth. And people will, you know, they'll faint in their heart, and that's not good. Jesus said, talked about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Now, both of his people, they were virgins. They didn't believe in another religion. But five had the oil in their lamps, which is just like us having the word of God in our hearts. And five just didn't, they let it get away. They didn't replenish their heart with the word of God. And they let it go empty. Now, these are the verses I was talking about. Now, this is Jeremiah 29. It said, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. So they they didn't have leadership. They didn't have future leadership. The princes were gone. They didn't have builders. They didn't have the carpenters. They couldn't make weapons because all the smiths were gone. They were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Now listen to this. He said, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Then he said, seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away. This is the Lord talking. Seek ye the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace, therefore, shall ye have peace. You know, peace is very important. We sow the word in peace. Peace requires sincerity. You can't have peace without sincerity. If peace is the fellowship with God, if peace is fellowship with God, you gotta be sincere and pure-hearted. That's a given. That's just to be understood. He said, for thus saith the Lord, I'm reading again, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets, your diviners, that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken unto your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. Your will can be so strong, and your desire can be so strong for what you imagine or the way you think it should go, that you can believe it's God talking. Now, many times when the Lord is talking, you'll see the prophet write this phrase that's very interesting. They'll say, the word of the Lord came to me saying. Now, this means that they were not trying to produce something. They didn't care one way or the other about it. I mean, they didn't have an opinion against it. They didn't have an opinion for it, per se. But the word of the Lord came to them saying something. And this kind of revelation I put on the top shelf. And I don't just say, well, you know, you have to try the Spirit. So in my doing that, I fill my heart with the word so that I can detect what's of God and what's not. If you read scriptures to prove points, you're getting some insight, but it's not a complete picture. When you read chapters and books in its content, and you yield yourself, you're receiving what you're reading. You're treating it as if it's true, which it is, and you're receiving it in your heart. When the Holy Spirit needs something of you, He will give you understanding based on what you've put in. He knows what's in your heart, and you gave him something to work with to enlighten you by. So sometimes it's new to you. Now, if you don't want to miss a visitation like most people do, pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying and ask questions. Now, I don't know another way to do this. You have to get clarity some kind of way. And best thing to do, I know of, is to ask questions. And whatever the Lord answers you, meditate on it, consider it. Now, as I've done that, I found out some things that the Lord always exceeds my expectations. Sometimes I say, Lord, why are we doing it this way? He may say why. I obey him. Once he confirmed it enough for me to go on, I act. This is why believing is taking God at face value. So if God says something, you have to receive it before you believe it. You receive it in your heart and you believe it. And it's dormant. It's right there. It's strength. But when you act on it, it becomes faith. Now, if you're around people that love God and they love his commandments, you see what happens as they continue. You're going to develop vision. You're going to begin to expect the best. Children from a good home, their interpretation of marriage is what their parents do. And they see their parents taking the children to church, spending time with the children, taking them to the park after work, having cookouts, picnics, going to their games. The parents are involved. So this is the type of parent, this is what they expect in a spouse. This is what they expect when they become parents, and they like it. They have vision for a good marriage. And then if they're wise children, they'll tweak their marriage. They'll say, well, I see the problems my parents had, and they go in God's presence and learn how not to do that and how to do a better job be better in marriage, you know. And then the Lord will give them insight and wisdom. But they have vision because of the fountain. That's what happened to me. My parents had a good marriage. That's what I expected. So when I saw somebody being disrespectful to their wife or not, or dishonoring their wife or lusting after sight, it used to make me mad because you don't do that. Now, my parents didn't do stuff like that. So I would watch movies. I would get mad. Most time when I saw a movie and somebody was cheating on their wife or her, I just turned it. I couldn't stand watching it. It used to make me mad. And I wasn't even a Christian yet. I just didn't believe in betraying somebody. And I didn't want to be like that, ever. But when you have vision for something, it's developed faith. It's dormant. It's a strength. It's there. But when you act on it, it's faith. Even when you trust God. When the Lord tells you to do something you normally wouldn't do, you don't really want to. You don't know what in the world is going to happen if you do it. You don't even know what to expect sometimes. But you say, nevertheless, it's your word, I'll do this. It's just like Peter. Nevertheless, it's your word, I'll let down the nets. He let down one. That was the level of his trust. But when he did, it was an act of faith. And he caught fish. And he almost lost his net because he didn't put out enough. He didn't trust Jesus enough to put all of them out in the first place. Then he asked for help and they got the load in. This is why, see, your trust becomes faith. Your vision becomes faith when you act on it. Your belief, what you believe is true about God, becomes faith when you act on it. The vision that you've acquired, the vision is something that you acquire. You see it. You expect it. You have a desire for it. And this is why we need to live the life before everybody. We supply them with vision. Now, my pastor said, he reached his hands up. He said, we receive and then we distribute. He didn't use the word distribute. We give what we've received. And I love that. We receive from the Lord and then we extend our hands out and supply others. So That's what's important. It's very important to hear from God and divide what's of God from what's not. Now, going back to verse 8, the Lord said, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets, your diviners, that be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken unto your dreams, which he calls to be dreamed." See, the will of man is strong, and it has a voice. "For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." Now imagine the people. They're in another land that's worse than the land that they came from. And they really want to be back. A sunny Saturday morning comes up. That's the Sabbath day. And they just long to be back at home, sitting under the trees, taking it easy in their own land. They dream about it because they want this so bad. Then they wake up in Babylon, of all places, and they have to deal with seeing these statues of idols and crap that people shouldn't have never made in the first place. They see people living in the kind of way. They see people eating pork. They see people eating shrimp. They see people being lewd. They see people acting a fool. And they're subject to them. They long to be back. Then the prophet has the same kind of desires and dreams. "We're going back to Israel. In 2 full years, they'll say something to make it sound like, you know, and people get excited. Now, this is not scripture. I'm just showing you how people do. Now, verse 8, which I just read, is scripture. Verse 9 is what I just read, is scripture. I'm just giving you a visual of how it is. "They prophesy to you falsely unto you in my name. They prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." Even though they have the same feelings and strong desires to do what's best, they can't go back to their land. They broke covenant, and now they're going to pay for this. He said, "Don't even in verse 8, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed." You want this so bad. You're not getting that. And the prophets, they didn't come from God. So verse 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word to you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." This means they got to possess the land all over again, just like with Egypt. Then he said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Now this is their hope. Then he said this. See, the way to get to know what true prophet is from false, true prophecy from false prophecy, you got to go in God's presence. You got to hear what he's saying. What's coming to you in the name? What is the Lord speaking to you? What's coming to you? That's what you can bank on. You can't bank on feelings, thoughts, and desires like you can bank on God's word. That's going to be real and stable and true. But our thoughts and desires, and we done broke covenant and acted a fool and did the things we shouldn't have done, that's not going to last. And when people speak from those angles, it don't work either. Now, verse 15, "Because ye have said, the Lord has raised us up prophets in Babylon, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like the vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. I'm going to read that again. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send them upon the sword and the famine and the pestilence, and will make them like the vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among the nations whither I have driven them. Because ye have not hearkened unto my words, saith the Lord, which I have sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Bad things happen when you don't listen. If you don't listen in time, you'll keep sowing bad seeds that God has to judge, and that can they give place to the enemy that will persecute you and give you make matters worse. Then he said, hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kaliah, and of Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. Now, this is bad. They wouldn't listen to God. So and they kept desiring things that were never going to happen. And then he gave them something that they will see. Verse 22, And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Now that's bad. Because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. And the Lord saw everything they did. They didn't get a fresh word from the Lord. They got one out of their own mind and from the enemy. Thus saith the Lord. Now, that's not scripture. I just added that part. But that's what they did. They gave them false hope. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah and the Nehelamites, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, saying, because thou hast sent letters in my name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord. For every man that is mad and makes himself a prophet, thou shalt put him in prison in the stocks. Then he said, now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? See, the false prophets accuse the true prophets. But the word of the Lord will stand, no matter who believes what. If God called you to be a prophet and send you out with his word, speak his word, do be faithful to God in the love of God. Go and operate in the love of God, in the wisdom of God, and in the sincere purity, the holiness of God. And God will bless you for it. And you'll bless those that have ears to hear only. But those that really did make themselves prophets or deviated from the call of God, they're going to be an enemy against you, because they are an enemy against God through their pride. Whenever people are in pride, they're the opposite. They're in opposition. They are enemies of God, and they won't do God's will. That's why, as a man of God, even though we love God, don't get in pride. That's the cure. Hate it. Reject it. Okay. Verse 8 says, "For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, This captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them." And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, "Send to all them of the captivity, saying, Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, because Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord." Now, how long is this going to happen? Already, before all this happened, Hananiah died, who said that after two full years, that God's going to turn the captivity of Babylon. He died in the seventh month. They don't stop prophesying wrong because their will is strong in that area. Now, I said all that to say this. In order to survive what's about to happen, people are going to have to receive God's word in their heart. They're going to have to be faithful students, whether they want to or not. They're going to have to be faithful students to the word of God. They're going to have to receive God's word in their heart in order to survive what's about to happen. And you can't just go on feelings no more. You're going to have to go in God's presence and stick with what God revealed to you, primarily through the word and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to become correctable, teachable. You're going to have to learn understanding. You're going to have to grow in the things of God. This is necessary, or you would choose not to follow God, and you'll get in serious trouble that you don't have to get in. And you have to be patient with people and love people. That's how we sow the word in peace. It's going to take the wisdom of the Holy Spirit from this point on, not just to survive, but also to thrive. People that are weak and have been immature, foolish in their ways, wouldn't listen, they're going to have to receive the word of God and grow up. Now, you know, the Lord said many people you love and know, they're not going to make it. Now, that's a hard word to receive. And people talk about the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. What are people talking about? What are they voicing? That shows you where they're at. That gives you a clue to where they're at. But when people are learning from the Lord, they talk about it. When people are frustrated in life, they voice that too. When people desire something and long for something, they can't help but speak about it. So, and without the word of God to go on, how are you going to win against the crafty enemy that's desperate? You can't let Satan be more desperate to tear your life down than you are to build it up. You got to be desperate to have faith in what God is talking about and to do what he's saying in order for everything to work out. Now, I talk a lot about things that have hindered people. The only reason I share what I share about all the pastors that I do, I still love them just like I did when the Lord gave me this assignment. And I'm going to tell you this, since I've talked about the failures of these pastors, I want to say this to clarify some things. Before God began to show me the things that existed that should not be, he gave me a very strong love for them. This love was revelation. It was not what I was used to. This came from straight from the Holy Spirit. And I desired to see them in better off. But the enemy accused me, you know, I'm going by what happened. He probably gave them, said, he just want to be something he's not. Or they noticed the anointing on my life and they were afraid of it. And I say that because of the dream God gave me. He gave me what, and things didn't make sense until the Lord gave me clarity. Now, I'm saying these things because the mistakes that they made don't have to continue to be made. That's the point. It's not the failure. I don't even blame them, because when you're pioneering, things are different. Things, you don't know everything. There's nowhere they could have gotten information that I had. I mean, it didn't exist. They were doing what they saw others do. And here come a kid, you know, 20 and almost 30 years old, saying, "Follow God." You know, in the Pentecostal mind, or the Word of Faith mind, or the Holiness Church mind, they were doing what they preached. They were not hypocrites. But the problems existed. God had to raise somebody up to deal with this. And that was me and others. Now, whatever God raised you up to do, you got to fulfill that. And the revelation it took to pull this thing off, when I kept seeing people fail, and I knew that they had failed. I knew that they had missed their visitation, because God told me. I didn't want that to happen. That was not my will.